Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church. Today we are looking at 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 to 15, Doing God's Work God's Way. The call to worship I've chosen is from Isaiah 57, verse 15. I am the high and holy God who lives forever. I live in a high and holy place. But I also live with people who are humble and repentant, so that I can restore their confidence and hope. Today we are continuing our look at main characters in the books of Samuel, focusing on David in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now in chapter 5, David was anointed king by the elders of Israel. David's next step is to conquer the Jebusite fortress of Zion and renaming it Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is along the border between Judah and Benjamin but belonging to neither tribe, will serve as a new capital to unite the country. When the Philistines learn that David is trying to unite Israel based out of Jerusalem, they come up the Rephaim Valley southwest of Jerusalem to attack him. David consults the Lord, and with the Lord's help, overwhelms the Philistines in two major battles. After defeating the Philistines, David decides to move the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. The Ark was a wooden box covered with gold inside and out, made during the time of Moses according to God's instructions. Inside the ark were the two stone tablets inscribed with the Ten Commandments that Israel agreed to follow as they made their covenant with the Lord God. On its lid were two cherubim, angelic beings with their wings spread out over it. The ark was considered God's throne on earth, and the Lord's presence would appear over it. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 1, we're told that David consulted with his military leaders and then suggested to the rest of the country that the Ark of God be moved to Jerusalem. David then brought together 30,000 men to join him in escorting the Ark to Jerusalem. The Ark was being moved to Jerusalem with great celebration. There was singing, music, dancing, and great praise. But all of this stopped when the oxen pulling the new cart which held the ark stumbled. As the ark shifted, Uzzah, one of the men guiding the cart, reached out to steady it, and when he touched it, he died. David became both angry and afraid of the Lord and decided to take the ark no further. It was brought to the home of Obed-Edom, a Levite, and left in his care. 3 months later, after reports that the keeper of the ark was being blessed by its presence, David tries again to bring the ark to Jerusalem. This time it is moved without incident. So what had changed? Well, this time the ark was carried by Levites rather than placed on a cart and pulled by an animal. Now what's the difference? The difference is that the second time being carried by the Levites is how God had instructed that the ark should be moved in the first place. We see this in the book of Numbers, chapter 3, verses 29 and 31. In fact, the first time the ark of God had ever been on a cart was after the Philistines had captured the ark in battle. When they began to get sick in fear, they sent it back to Israel on a new cart, hoping the illness in their land would stop. This is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 4 through 6. The ark itself had been designed specifically to be carried. It had rings on the side where carrying poles were placed, and it was to be transported on the shoulders of the Levites. It was covered from sight, and we read that only the priests were allowed to touch it as they were preparing it for transport. We see this in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verses 14 and 15, and in Numbers, chapter 3, verses 30 and 31. It's interesting that there's no record of King Saul visiting the ark during his reign, and it's very clear that people forgot how to treat it. The book of Chronicles, in chapters 13 and 15, has the account of David moving the ark of God as well. And in 1 Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 13, David has come to realize what they had done wrong. And he says, it was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time that the Lord our God broke out in anger against us. We did not inquire of him about how to do it in the prescribed way. That was the problem. What David was trying to do was good. He wanted the Lord God to rule in the new capital of the city. He himself wanted to be close to God, and he wanted his people to join him in worship of God. This was a great desire of David's. God created all of us with what has been called a God-shaped vacuum, which only he can fill. And this realization that there is someone beyond us has led millions and millions of people to satisfy their spiritual emptiness through a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, reflecting on who God is and what he has done for us should lead us to want to express our thanks to him. This response to his amazing love and grace can be expressed in specific actions or in our life goal. So what can we learn from this event in 2 Samuel chapter 6? Well, very clearly, we can see that you can be enthusiastic, but if enthusiasm comes out of ignorance, enthusiasm plus ignorance leads to death. David wanted to move the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, but it seemed that no one thought to check if there were specific instructions on how the Ark was to be moved. The focus was simply on getting it from point A to point B, and no one gave much thought to what happened in between. Yet God had told his people how the ark was to be treated, specifically to avoid such tragedies as these. Clearly, ignorance of those facts was no excuse. This suggests not only had the ark been neglected, but so had a study and reading of God's word. They had the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible that Moses had compiled. May this be a word of caution to us. We have God's word, but do we read it? Do we live it? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2 says, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. We have God's word. We need to know it, and we need to live it. People may be passionate about seeking God, but if they search in ignorance, they are still lost and still in trouble. Don't ignore God's word. Christian, as powerful as the urge to just do something might be, never act without consulting with the Lord, even if it's to do something good. Remember, he's already at work all around us, and he's waiting for us to be willing to join him in what he's doing. So what is the answer? Well, clearly, enthusiasm is good. But enthusiasm plus knowledge is what leads to real joy. David saw what happens when you don't do things God's way, even if it's done in ignorance. He'd been so focused on the end goal, getting the ark to Jerusalem, that he rushed things and didn't check with God. Yet when David was informed by God's word, then he could plan and organize with certainty, knowing what God required, and this brought great joy. The journey to Jerusalem then became an opportunity to praise God. Following God's way makes all the difference. God has explained in his word how we can live a life that pleases him, beginning with putting our faith in his son Jesus as our sin forgiver and life leader. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. We need to hear and act on the good news about Christ. Now, don't let your focus on the end goal blind you to the importance of the process, what God is trying to do within you during this time, making you more and more like a son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How we do what we are called to do is important because we represent the Lord God Almighty. It is not only the task or the destination which is important to God, but how we accomplish the task or reach our destination. As we strive for the goal of the upward calling to reach heaven, The Lord wants us to learn all along the way and to represent Him well all along the way of our life. As we close, let me leave you with some questions to ask yourself. First of all, very important, do I know God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ? Do I have a relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ? Is Jesus my sin forgiver and life leader? This is a step you dare not skip or rush for the sake of your eternal soul. You need to ask yourself, where do I stand with God? Now, you may say, I know Jesus is my Savior and Lord. Jesus is my sin forgiver and my life leader. I am a Christian. Very good. Now ask yourself now the second question. Am I doing God's work? Am I doing God's work? If I'm one of His people, if I belong to Him, am I representing Him? If I belong to God, am I representing Him? Am I going about my day conscious that I want to serve Him? Or am I going about my day focused on doing my own thing? Am I doing God's work? And how am I serving Him? And finally, a third question, and it very much comes out of our text today. Am I doing God's work God's way? Am I doing God's work God's way? Am I doing what He called me to do the way He wants me to do it? Sometimes we find it easier just to give our money than to give of ourselves and our time. With people, some of us would rather leave a track or give someone a few bucks than take the time to listen and to share and spend time with them. When you find yourself in those moments, send out a silent prayer. Lord, what is your plan for this moment? What would you have me say and do? Although it wasn't required by David, David decided that every time the Levites had taken 6 steps, he would offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. Now the trip to Jerusalem, the whole way to Jerusalem, became a time of thanking God for His mercy and grace. Christian, don't let yourself become so busy doing things for God that you don't take time to praise and thank Him for who He is and what He is doing. Are you using your daily journey through life with the Lord as an opportunity to worship Him? Are you using your day as an opportunity to worship the Lord as you go about what you need to do, as you go about serving Him? Are you using your daily journey with the Lord as an opportunity to worship Him? Praise Him with your whole life, for your whole life. Praise Him with your whole life, for your whole life, because of what Jesus has done for us as our sin forgiver and life leader, we can now come into God's presence without fear. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12 says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let me close with a benediction from Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, which reminds us what the Lord has done for us and who we have become. All glory to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding His blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God His Father. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.